This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. How's that for an intro? It always taught me in
traditional radio to be very professional.
I mean, if I'd done an introduction like that when I was doing radio, it'd have fired me. But that's how people greet each other when they're real, you know? Like I see the Anna go,
"Hey, what's up?"
People don't do that on radio. It's all formal. It's like, "Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a brand new and completely professional radio presentation."
Ooh.
Very polite.
Very formal.
You know, people used to dress up like they would wear a suit and tie, even though no one could see them.
What?
I used to put on lipstick, mm-hmm. And then I thought, what's the point?
And you stopped worrying about all that stuff. Yeah, eventually.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I miss formality sometimes, though.
Oh, there's lots of it. You can still find it in the places you need to.
Over the festive season, I watched a documentary on Jane Fonda. It was actually quite interesting, even though she's...
I love that woman.
She's 250 years old and she looks 60.
Easily. Yeah, she's just amazing. And she is just the most beautiful, voracious, exciting... She's activist in all the right ways, and I mean, yeah. I don't agree with her politics, right? You don't have to. She married Ted Turner, and she like fought the Vietnam War as a young woman, and she did loads of things that were so brave for her time. You talk about like she's a proper feminist, the kind is worthy of respect.
I put her and Gloria Steinem up there,
right?
Yeah. Before, and it was like hashtag cool and
yeah.
A trend.
Yeah. And there's another one. The Australian woman. What's her name? It's like a kind of she's a bit of an obnoxious Australian, but she really did a lot to advance the feminist agenda. Jermaine Greer.
I was about to Google obnoxious Australian, and then I thought,
Listen, those three names, those are real feminists.
If you Google Australian feminist, Jermaine Greer pops up.
There we go. Yes. See, told you.
And the documentary was a view on her life, and it was dividing her life into five acts. And I actually like the way that she views her life as well. You know, she's a person who believes that we're all ever evolving, and you can't just define yourself in one way. She was the daughter of a famous Hollywood actor,
right,
and moved on to being a model, then moved on to being an activist, then moved on to being an actress.
Because, you know, here's the problem, right?
You change all the time.
People are trying to put you in a box the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting back listening to you two feminists go.
No, I'm not talking about women's things now. I'm talking about in anything, men, women, whoever you are. People are always trying to put you in a box. They tried to put her in a box because her dad was a famous actor and director. Mm. Her brother was a famous actor.
Mm.
So, like, she's an actress.
Yeah.
She's like, no, actually, I'm a bunch of things. These are the top five, but there's still others coming, so brace yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, whoa, wait a chance.
And so I say all of this to say, though, she grew up with governesses. Oh.
Yeah, she grew up with governesses, yeah.
You know, that's not just a nanny, it's a governess.
Well, you know, it's kind of a nanny. It's just a different name for it.
See, I love formality. I wish I grew up back in those days.
You would have liked that?
Yes.
You would have liked...
Ladies in waiting.
Having a poop in a bucket and throwing it out the window.
Okay, Leanne, don't bring that up.
She has forgotten about that stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that you would have had maybe, if you were lucky, one pair of underwear.
And it wouldn't be washed every day.
Ooh. But it would have a hat box. Mm. You know, just boxes for your hats. These are priorities.
See, you can still have that, and you can still have a governess today if you want to.
Then people look at me like I'm weird.
No, they won't.
That was the norm back in the day. Oh, and I wish I was living back in the day with
rich,
money.
Yeah, sure. If you were poor, it was horrible.
Money. Yeah, it was all rats.
I didn't want to die from scurvy.
Mm.
Not fabulous.
I didn't sleep properly last night.
Oh dear, what happened?
No, well, I'm still getting back into the routine now, and it was only 2 weeks, but
it's long enough.
You're waking up at 4 a.m. again. It sucks ass. So you have to get used to it.
So what happened? You couldn't fall asleep? Or
I fell asleep, and then I woke up.
What time did you get to bed?
11. And then I woke up at 2. Oh. And then I was up for about an hour and a half. Went back to sleep. And as soon as I'd got back to sleep,
it was
beep, 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 beep. But anyway, I mean, I'll survive. I've just got, we've got important stuff to do today. And I hate not being fresh for those meetings.
Yeah.
I hate not being full of energy, because if I don't have energy, then I don't feel like I can contribute as much as I would normally.
Mm.
And I'll be fine for the show this morning, because that's always the first thing we do, and that's good. So I don't have to worry about that. There's always energy to go around there, but 9 o'clock comes, boom, I crash badly. And then I suppose the right thing to do would be to have like a power nap, right? Like a 15 to 20 minute power nap. People swear by it. There are these experienced life coach type people who tell you that's the best thing to do. But I have nowhere to do that. I'm not going to sleep on the floor of my office, because that's uncomfortable and weird. Like someone
you could get
in.
Like a sleep pod.
What? How do those work again?
They look like balls. They're roundish. Yeah, and when you lie on your back and it puts you ergonomically in the right position, then there's a visor that comes across, so you've got some privacy. But not too much privacy, I've noticed. It kind of stops
at
the hands and genitalia, so that they know you're not doing anything.
Oh, okay. See, why don't you check how much those things cost, and let's see how much I want to get one.
Let's see.
I need one of those. If I had a 20-minute power nap, I'd be good to go. Like yesterday, I had stuff to do until probably about 2 o'clock. And then I decided I was going to maybe go to gym or go home. And on the way home, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do a proper gym session now. I'm going to go and have a nap, which I know is a luxury. A lot of people have to work a 12-hour day. So I go home, have a little nap. It was maybe an hour. And then I was good.
Yeah.
And I woke up and I was like, okay. Wrote an article I had to write. I went to gym. I got home. I did some admin. Felt fine. But if I didn't have that sleep, I would have been a disaster. And maybe that sleep also ruined my sleep last night, because it throws out your balance. Anyway, enough about my boring life.
You know, I because sleeping is one of my favorite pastimes. There is.
Yeah.
I once saw this.
Mine too, by the way. Don't be embarrassed.
Ooh, I really love it.
So good.
It's this big, fluffy ball with three holes. So one for your head, and you slide your head into the middle. So you can actually place this big fluffy ball on a hard surface, for example, your desk.
Okay.
So you
are you facing forward towards the floor or on your back?
You're sitting on your actual chair at your desk, and you put your head in through the middle, and you are facing, your head is now parallel to the desk. Then the other two holes are for your arms. So essentially you're sleeping on your arms, but you're all super cushioned.
Like a little baby on a tulip.
So it's all nice and snug up until there's slight claustrophobia that also creeps in as well.
Because it's like putting your head in a cave or something.
There's not much space to breathe, but I love it. Oh, there it is. Someone just sent it to us. That's it. Right? I think it's quite
cool. The power nap pillow. The Grommet sells it. $99.
Also, if you
have ostrich pillow.
Yeah, there's like an ostrich putting his head under.
The ostrich pillow power nap pillow, discovered by the Grommet, is a soothing interior. It shelters and isolates. Blah, 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 blah. That looks fantastic. Maybe that's the key.
See, and it's nice and small. You can move it around. I assume you can like pack it back in a bag.
I'm going to get one.
Yeah, that looks good.
And if you have like 3,400 rands, you can rent a sleep pod per month.
Do you have an expensive mattress?
Mattress, no, yes. But I'm super fussy about my pillows.
All right, this is an interesting thing. And I mean, we'll get off the sleep in a second. But they make those extremely, extremely good mattresses. I'm talking like a 60,000 rand mattress. Now, when I was sorting out my house when I moved in there, what was it, 6 or 7 years ago, I got a nice king size bed. And I went to the shop and I looked at these mattresses, and the woman was like, this one's 12 grand. I was like, what? You're insane. Give me the shittiest mattress you got. And I got like a 5,000 rand, which is still expensive. I mean, if you think about it, you know, I think that was the cheapest one I could find. But 5,000 rand is quite a lot for a mattress. I mean, it's quite a lot for anything. I thought that was outrageous. I didn't know there were 60 grand mattresses.
Yeah.
So for all I know, mine is like stuffed with hay and and barbed wire. I don't know what's in there. All right,
chicken
I
mean, beaks.
It's probably terrible. And I've never really replaced it. But I was at a mattress shop the other day, and I got onto one of these beds. And it's got that foam, like a memory foam type thing, and it just feels like you're lying on a cloud.
Mm.
It's really good. And I thought about this. This is why you must never go for the cheapest option, because you get what you pay for every time.
Yeah.
Like if you buy a house and you go, oh, well, this is the house I can afford, but I'd really like a bathroom that's inside the house. And you buy that house without the bathroom inside, and I'm using a ridiculous example, but you get the idea. You will regret it. And you'll end up spending so much more, because then you have to build on a bathroom and you have to lay on the plumbing, and then you try to sell the house and someone's like, oh, well, this bathroom's shit. And
yeah.
If you buy the place that costs you an extra, I don't know, 10%, but it's what you really want, you never regret it.
But so you can always compare it to like wine, I think. If you're at a restaurant, if you order the cheapest, it's going to taste the cheapest. But the key is to not order the most expensive.
Right.
You don't have to buy the top.
No, no, but here's my problem.
Just under the top.
So now I spent $5,000 on that shit mattress I've got on my bed now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I do want to spend, let's say I want to buy a $30,000 mattress. I mean, that's half the price of the top range one, right?
Yeah.
But that's still a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm actually spending $35,000.
Exactly.
Because I bought the shit mattress and now I have to get rid of the shit mattress. You know what I mean?
So yeah. You're losing.
I've created a huge problem for myself. That's what dumb does.
Yeah, you've got to go with quality of some sort.
And you spoke about pillows. You get these pillows. They are called Polish goose down pillows.
Ooh.
It's just amazing. Like your head is just supported, but you don't feel like you've got anything under it.
Why are we talking about this while I'm still struggling?
I know, because I struggled with my sleep last night. So all I'm obsessing over sleep.
Well, we can't get off of sleep yet, because I do have to tell you about my sleep test.
Oh, yes.
What happened? Because you had the sleep apnea problem, and they were going to give you a proper test and like,
yeah, it
book
wasn't
you in.
Diagnosed. Okay. And also, if you don't have a partner telling you that you're dying in the middle of the night, you don't really know.
Yeah, and you don't have anyone.
Yeah. So I went to a sleep clinic.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing was very awkward, I must just say. It's placed inside. That's how I snore. I wish. My snoring is much worse than that.
Is it?
Mine's like.
All right, so what did they say?
So it's inside a shopping center, which is a bit odd, all right?
Oh,
so you've literally got like this game opposite you,
uh-huh.
And you now have to sleep in this shopping center. It's weird.
At night?
Yeah.
Through the night?
Yeah.
And is there someone there?
Yes, a sleep technician who may or may not look like a mortician.
Oh, oh no.
So you go into this room and they've made it look as cozy as possible. It's got a normal bed. And then you start putting on all of these, all this paraphernalia. And she cements onto your head 24 probes. You also get a calendar nose doodah that goes into your nose. It's got a bee spout over it that it tries to tell whether you're a nose breather or a mouth breather.
Is it like an oxygen mask?
No,
is it
just to pick up your airflow.
Okay.
Then you wear something where your tracheostomy would usually go, you know, where they punch you if you need to breathe. Yeah, that's. Oh. And they monitor your snoring. Then you get a band over your chest with about 8 machines on it, a band over your tummy.
Wow.
Another 2 nodes on each
How
of your
shins. How
are
you meant to sleep with all this shit on you?
Well, I felt like a Rastafarian because I had all these wires coming out of my hair that you could literally plait. and then here's the worst of it.
Oh,
there's
no.
There's a camera. Okay.
Oh, God.
So you close the door, but the camera's looking at your bed.
Oh.
And it's a nice setup?
Is it a nice, comfortable
bed?
Yeah, it's cool. It's a tiny bed.
Do they make it look like a bedroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she shouts from the door next door to you, I'm just testing the machines. Look right. So you look right. She goes, okay, thank you. Look left. Okay, thank you. Up, down, flex your toes. She can see exactly what you're doing all the time, even where your eyeballs are facing.
No.
Now you must sleep. So the lights go out, and I think, oh, the camera's on me. Let me just close my eyes so she thinks I'm sleeping. Then I'm like, you twat. Obviously, she can see that you're not sleeping.
She's watching your brainwaves.
I actually prayed. I was like, dear Jesus, please help me fall asleep now. Mm-hmm. And then I thought maybe she could see what I was thinking. Oh, no. It's very uncomfortable.
She saw Jesus on the screen in front of her going, no, I'm not going to help you. You're ridiculous.
Anyway, finally you fell asleep, woke up at 5. She wakes you up. She says, I was going to wake you a little earlier, but you were sleeping so nicely. Oh, and she literally does know you were. Hmm. Anyway, she showed me everything that was being monitored from heart rate, BP, and I'm super apneic.
So what are you going to have to do?
So now I wait 4 to 6 weeks for the official results. Then you try out a machine. They give you a machine or two to try out for a while. But it's basically a ventilator. So you'll either go on to CPAP or BiPAP. CPAP is a continuous airway into your mouth and throat to keep open your throat. And BiPAP is breathing both ways for you if it has to, depending on how bad it is.
Wow, so that would be for the... That would mean you're a complete disaster.
Yeah.
You have to have the BiPAP.
But it's very common. It leads to weight gain or difficulty in losing weight. It leads to high blood pressure, acid reflux, all stuff that I'm on medication for already. If you have anxiety and depression, it worsens it, being able to sleep.
Well, sleep, let me tell you something.
It's so important.
We know that's the time our body takes to fix itself.
Yeah.
Because while you're on the go, it can't do all of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's so important. I mean, here we are. We've been talking about sleep for like 19 minutes, but it's so big. It's such a big deal.
Huge.
Oh, my God.
It is the cornerstone of everything.
It is the cornerstone. Oh. God damn it. Right. Thank you, Sia.
That's why I just don't get people who... More power to you if it's how you genuinely work, but people who say, oh yeah, I just need 3 hours of sleep or 4 hours of sleep and I'm fine.
No. Like,
how do
you do that? I've been doing that for the last 18 years and I'm not happy about it. I want more. I really want more sleep. I know that
if you could buy it.
I do 4 to 5 hours a night. That's my usual. Even when I'm on holiday, I wake up early.
And you feel like you operate at...
Yeah,
your optimal level.
Well, no, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm not at optimal level. I would like 6 to 7. So I just want to extend it by an hour or two. And I've never taken and I won't take sleeping tablets because that stuff ruins everything.
Why don't you want to?
No, it messes with the all the cycles, all the patterns, everything. I can't do it. And I'm nervous as hell that I'll oversleep. It already happens occasionally that I oversleep and I always get deeply, deeply upset by it. So...
It's a great sedation vacation.
No, I know, but I just don't like sleeping tablets.
You get very mild ones that they literally leave your system after 3 hours. It's just to put you to sleep.
Oh.
Mm.
Maybe I should just talk to someone about it and actually get something done. All right, this is not the only thing we're going to talk about this morning. People are like, oh, Jesus, first week of the year and all these people can do is talk about sleep. We've got Robin Wheeler popping by later on. He's written a new book called Death is the Ultimate Orgasm. How do you like that?
Talk about a title that gets you going.
Right.
It is Robin the big Wheeler. Finale.
Robin Wheeler is what they call a business mystic who coined the phrase being yourself for a living. All the way back in 1996, he's been inspiring the world to personify it since. It's a big, fat book, this. And he says he's going to deal with, and we'll talk to him about this in the discussion, like the two big taboos, sex and death. Those are two things people are still, in certain quarters, uncomfortable about talking about. I mean, obviously, we're not, but that's yeah. part of the reason you probably listen to us, because we don't really give a damn about taboos. What else do we have today? We've got a couple of funny clips. I mean, I've got one where Anderson Cooper can't drink tequila. I want you to hear that. R. Kelly is everywhere in the news. Mm. I saw that stupid DSTV, who... at first didn't have the R. Kelly documentaries as part of their offering. They're suddenly tweeting about it like they've discovered something. Let me just explain this to you.
Oh, now they want to jump onto the trend.
Yeah, now they're all involved, yeah. So DSTV put out this You know, they really are behind the times. So there's this tweet from DSTV that goes, South Africa, you will not be missing out. Watch the shocking docuseries, Surviving R. Kelly, 27 February. 27 February?
27th?
Yeah, at 8 p.m. DSTV 170. These guys are so dumb.
Goodbye.
I mean, they're such a joke because everyone has already pirated this because they aren't showing it. And we're not going to wait a month and a half for dumb DSTV to have it on.
We'd have forgotten about it by then.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I've already
seen it. I know people who say the only reason they got DSTV is for sport. And since I don't watch sport, I don't even need DSTV. I don't, you know this. I've said it before a million times. I don't turn on my TV.
There are very few things that I watch.
No. Oh. Not live. You watch series.
Yeah.
Yeah, now as well, our news offering, when was it? The Sunday night, actually. I was still up at about 10 p.m. And yeah. I had a friend who was driving back up to Joburg from Durban. And mm-hmm. she was the one who first alerted me about that major accident that happened. And yeah. I was trying to be on TV, trying to find a news channel to hear more about this. ENCA was playing repeats. What is the other South African channel?
When you do need them, they're playing repeats.
Yeah, they're playing repeats of something. And there was, I think it was the SABC News channel was playing some odd programming. So I actually had to go onto social media to see what mm-hmm. people were updating. And that's how a lot of us live these days. That's where we get our news from. Because we can't be waiting on people to now, oh, okay, hope the news cycle picks it up in 3 hours' time. Mm. Let's see what happens then. No, you know.
The news, I wrote this article about the news. Do you want to hear some part of it? I mean, it's really just, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll post it online later. But basically how you're going to start this year and you're going to have your priorities worked out. You're going to say, oh, this is the year that I sort out my sleep apnea, or this is the year that I get more done, or this is the year that I
buy a new car,
get fit, or buy a new car, whatever it is. You got your priorities, but you're still giving your brain shitty inputs.
Mm.
Like you're choosing bad sources of content and useful information. You're reading mainstream media news publications when you know that half the reason they put the stories that they put in there is because they want audiences that they can then sell to advertisers. So why should you not be in charge of that relationship? Why is the media outlet in charge of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's say you go onto a news website. They're going to put the most provocative, controversial story they can as the headline because that gets your fear response going. Mm. We spoke about this briefly
yesterday.
It gets
clicks.
Yes, it's called clickbait.
Yeah.
And then what can they do? They can say to an advertiser, hey, look, we got 20 million people clicking on this yesterday. You must advertise with us.
Mm.
Now, what happens to you in that relationship? Nothing. You get a shitty story that's fake, that's probably made up, that's controversial for no good reason and does nothing to help you in your life. Doesn't help you. Doesn't inform you. Doesn't give you any useful, applicable information to your own existence. There's no utility in it. Mm. So you're not getting value out of the story, except it's making you cross, or it's making you nervous, or it's making you anxious, or it's making you angry, or it's making you think that everything's worse than it is. You get none of the good things out of mm. that. Plus, you're being sold as a number to an advertiser who you're probably not interested in.
And you might get reporting that's skewed for the likes and for the hoopla. And then in a couple of months, you'll get an apology from the editor.
Correct. Some tiny little bottom of the page, hidden in the back, behind some picture. With that story we told you back in January was bullshit. So you don't get any useful information. It's not quality. You get sold to an advertiser. And you're feeding your brain with horrible stuff that's making your life worse, not better. Stop it. Stop it. Stop turning on radio that's designed, especially talk radio, designed to make you cross, designed to make you unhappy, unhealthy. Put good stuff into your head. Listen to podcasts that make your life better. Read things that matter rather than things that are made up for you.
It was interesting talking to a friend who lives in the US, and he was here over December. Mm-hmm. And he was noting how he was actually slightly relieved, saying the way media is in South Africa is less intense than what is currently happening in the US.
Yeah, but he doesn't know because he doesn't read our crap.
Yeah, he doesn't have a level you know, but of comparison.
Compared to the, he was speaking of the velocity yeah, there. He says yeah. wherever you go in a waiting room, you're stuck in a queue, there's some flashing screen with a strip of headlines and there'll always be Trump and Trump and Trump and more Trump. And yeah. It's too much. It's too much nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all fighting for audience, see? So they'll put up whatever they think will get them an audience rather than what's useful and interesting. Anyway, yeah. my point is just that you should be in charge of that relationship and you should be choosing the kind of content you care about. That's hopefully why you listen to us. And there's no bullshit here. That's what we've stood for the longest time. So I would like to hear from you this morning. You know what you can do to get hold of us, 0861-555-189 if you want to call, if you want to message us on the screen in front of me, 0797-482090. The same person who sent us the picture of the power nap pillow said that that got them through medical internship. Jeez, doctors work hard, huh?
Oh, no.
It does look like Kudos. A great investment.
No, doctors, it looks amazing. So you put your head in this thing and you put your arms in and you sleep. Got to get my morning fix. Great show, says L. Thank you, L. L Mahari. Or Mahri, sorry. And then this is important. Just because we've wrapped up the festive season doesn't mean that you can't continue supporting local brands. Last year, we kicked off a podcast series with Proudly South African. You remember that? To highlight the fantastic local goods and services that you can support and begin changing more lives. From dairy farmers to designers, we spoke to some of South Africa's most fascinating entrepreneurs. And for more information on this, you can go and visit cliffcentral.com to listen to those podcasts. And don't forget to pay a visit to Proudly South African's new online store for only locally made products. Go to www.rsamade.co.za. Hashtag we buy local. Do. You. Do you want to do the five things you need to know?
Let's get into that.
All right. May as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some actual news. Where do we begin? It's always tough to get the... we've got so much to choose from in the mornings. First thing, we see all these headlines. So the Western Cape, dam levels. Because this is a constant
preoccupation. Those dam levels.
Well... You remember Cape Town this time last year where they were, oh my God, we're not going to have any drinking water and everybody's going to die.
It's chaos.
People were going to emigrate out of the Cape and move somewhere else. So the Western Cape dam levels are significantly improving, but Beaufort West remains a serious concern. So apparently, dams that supply Cape Town have an average level of 63.7%. That's not so bad. Mm. The Western Cape local government departments... James Brent Steyn says that the province's dams have recovered significantly. Average dam levels are at 52.3%. Last year at this time, the average dam level for the province was at 27.8.
Mm-mm.
So much, much better. Situation is safe, they say. However, Beaufort West is now of serious concern. The Karoo town's three reservoirs are between 11 and 28% full. Of the 40 boreholes in the area, 17 have already dried up.
Oh.
Mm, Beaufort West. But then, I mean, get out of Beaufort West.
Yeah, it is.
What a shithole.
It's a destination.
See, that's useful news. Move all in Beaufort West. Get out now. There we go. You get that from the mainstream.
It's more
media.
Than news. It's mm-hmm. a public service announcement. Do it for your health.
So if it isn't water, it's fire. Firefighters are still hard at work, battling that blaze that we spoke about yesterday in the Overstrand.
Yeah.
The Kuchel Bay Resort had to be evacuated on Monday as the fire moved dangerously close to the facility. And there were pictures of choppers in the area dropping water. Thousands of hectares of vegetation have burnt and one woman from Pringle Bay has died.
Oh no.
Uh-huh. At least two helicopters are helping from the skies. Firefighters have been working since last week to contain that fire. And of course they say it started because of some idiot on New Year's Eve with a firework. Mm. When are we going to grow up and stop with these fireworks? What are you?
No, I don't understand.
Five, that you need to see explosions and fancy lights and colors? You know, why not put on a pair of 3D goggles?
Yeah.
Douchebag. Drunk driving is the leading cause of road fatalities over the holidays. Now, I can't understand why people want to drive drunk. I used to be one of those people who thought, I can get away with it. It's just down the road.
There are lots of options now, you know.
But that was because there weren't any options.
Yeah, there was
days.
No Uber then.
No. And also, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to be rebellious and I'll be fine. You always think that you're Superman. The Department of Transport says it will increase law enforcement operations and awareness campaigns to curb the high numbers of accidents on our roads. The department says, what's the leading cause? Drunk driving.
Are we surprised, though?
I don't know. I suppose we shouldn't be, huh?
Sadly, we shouldn't be.
More than 1,000 motorists were arrested during this period in Gauteng alone for driving under the influence of alcohol. And wow, were the Metro Police everywhere?
Yeah.
Did you see them? Everywhere. Every on-ramp and off-ramp to the highway. They were on major roads. They were hidden behind bushes.
I'm glad.
Yeah, they were everywhere. Spokesperson Ishmael Mnisi says that officials are working with the National Prosecuting Authority to prosecute those who break the law. Bladen Zimande, who's the Minister of Transport, will also have an urgent engagement with the Department of Justice and the NPA to ensure that serious cases involving violations of traffic laws are prosecuted expeditiously, to send a strong message that there is zero tolerance for the transgression of road rules. How do you like that?
Great.
Yeah. And then you get drunk pedestrians as well.
Yeah, that's all much, much worse.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
No, we often don't talk about this because you imagine that someone behind the controls of a car is a danger if they're drunk. But people who cross busy highways because they're drunk and then get hit by cars, I mean, whose fault is that? That's certainly not the driver.
Hmm. And that happens. It happens so often in the Cape.
Well,
it's like an obstacle course.
You can see parts of our highway where they've had to build barriers that human beings can't cross. Because human beings are so dumb that they will walk across a highway. Now, don't give me this crap that, oh, someone is poor and they live on this side of the road and they need to get that side for work. I'm sorry, if you value your life, you don't cross a highway. I have never in my life, ever been in a situation where I stood on one side of a dangerously busy road and thought, you know what? I'm going to risk everything by just walking across five lanes of traffic to get to the other side. I'm sorry, it's worth walking around.
You really are risking everything.
Everything.
It's your life.
You've got a car at 100. I mean, the maths is just all you need to figure this one out. You've got a car coming along at the speed limit of 120, if you're lucky. Sometimes they're going well over the speed limit.
That's a highway.
You know that that car, in the time that it takes you to make it across just one lane out of the three or five that you have to get across, and that car could change lanes, and you won't see them changing lanes, because you're too busy focused on getting across that road, plus another car that you didn't see coming up behind it that's going even faster might come in front of that car. And then you haven't got enough time to get across. Dummy, stop it. I see these
Pretty
people crossing.
Scary.
The other night on my way home, I was on my way home from gym. Four guys ran across the highway. And they weren't running all at the same speed. So it was one guy, then one guy, then one guy, then one guy. And thank God I had my lights on bright and I could slow down. Because I promise you, if I was going at the same speed anyway and I didn't see them, and it was a dark part of the highway that wasn't well lit.
Some
guess
people
whose
have
fault,
such...
Guess whose fault that would have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me.
I just don't get how some people have that confidence to go, man, it's fine, and I'm going to saunter, not really run across the road.
And this is quite a scary number. The Democratic Alliance says that more than 200 nurses finishing community service at Gauteng hospitals face unemployment this year. Despite a major shortage of health practitioners at government hospitals, recently qualified nurses are not being absorbed into permanent posts. Jack Bloom of the DA says this may be due to the department's financial woes. The problem is, Gauteng Health Department's financial crisis, which has been going on for a long time, due to mismanagement and widespread corruption, means that the Gauteng Health Department needs to get its act together. They're training a lot of nurses, which they need to do, but they must employ them as well because we need them in hospitals.
Yeah.
There's something you didn't think about.
There's definitely a need for nurses in hospitals. People are working overtime, double shifts. It's not great. And to think that it's just because of a financial glitch, scary.
So apparently there's an Irishman who went missing in South Africa last month. They found him.
Oh, was he down the pub?
He was sleeping under a tree.
Oh, no.
In Edenvale. Now, I don't know whether to feel good about this and be excited that we found this missing Irishman, or whether to smack this guy around the head.
If he has some sort of mental disorder,
well,
that's a different story. But if it's a great old party...
He left his home in Dublin in December in the hopes of meeting a woman he had befriended on social media.
And sympathy gone.
He was taking a break from the sun. He had obviously not been used to our weather conditions. He was taken to a doctor for a checkup, but as far as we know, he was not injured. From what we heard from the team who located him, he had lost his way back to where he was staying in Johannesburg. But he was missing for like a month. And they found him sleeping under a tree. I don't know. No. How's this possible? You have GPS. Everybody has a cell phone these days. He was on social media. That's how he met this woman. He came over here.
Yeah, you can ask for directions.
You can ask for directions.
What's wrong with this guy?
Was he just walking? I mean...
Stupid idiot.
There's so much more to this story.
Oh, Paddy.
So he was found on Monday. He was sleeping under a tree. He doesn't have a problem with sleep, clearly.
I think he was probably here on some drug deal.
Yeah, because there was this news report about how, oh, there's this missing Irishman. And, you know, people jumped to the conclusion that there's a problem. 66-year-old Irishman Stanley Curry. His family were desperate to find him after he boarded a flight from Dublin to South Africa on December the 30th. And he had not been heard from since.
That's so odd.
Stupid, right?
I don't... That's so many questions.
What a dummy.
December 30th. Yeah, he was missing for just over a week.
Dumb.
Stanley.
Stupid idiot. Sorry, I don't have a lot of sympathy. Is that wrong?
No. We're with you on this one.
He's been having a great time here. He's fine. He wasn't missing. It was just a hangover experience.
All right. That's all you need to know today in terms of the news. It is 20 minutes to 7. Let's do Said by Sia this morning. A lot of people like to wake up with inspiration. And Sia has plenty of that for you today. Sia, what have you got for us today?
This morning, actually, if Stanley stayed in the UK, maybe this story would benefit him instead of coming to South Africa and getting lost. Who would have ever thought that a nightclub promoter would be helping the elderly and their loneliness?
Wow.
So Simon Casson is a nightclub promoter. He's been in the business for years in the UK. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, he moved his 80-year-old mother back into his house with him. Yes. And actually spotted something that worried him. Seeing his mother's lifestyle, he started doing research into isolation and loneliness in elderly people because they don't go out much or they might not have as much of a social life. And he thought... Let me try do something about this.
Okay.
So Simon and his team then established the Posh Club. Listen to this. It's a clubbing experience for the elderly.
Really?
Oh my goodness me.
Oh no, but Gareth, that's not what it is at all. When you're old, you don't want loud music. You don't want to be stuck in a hot, cramped club at 10 p.m.
So what do you want?
So this is a club that operates from 12 noon to 3 p.m. They say it's for swank senior citizens, elegant elders, and glamorous golden girls. I think this is so cute. It's a gathering for all of these old people, and you get cabaret music, you get tea sandwiches and scones, and you also just get to socialize with some of your peers. And I think this is so awesome. It's called the Posh Club, and it operates from Crawley. And the people who attend have been absolutely loving this. They say a lot of our guests maybe don't get out as much as they once did, and they don't see friends as often. And this, the Posh Club, provides a unique way to do both, while also being part of something that's vibrant and exciting. They're like pictures of them with their face painted, they're pictures of them on the dance floor. They're absolutely loving this. And they say, with so many families living so far away from each other now, there are too many elderly residents who are out there who rarely receive visitors who can help keep ward off their loneliness and check up on them to make sure their needs are being met. So now there's a clubbing experience for old people, the Posh Club.
Okay.
I absolutely love this. That's just it by Sia for this morning.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah. It is nice.
It's something to look forward to in our old age.
Yes.
It makes me realize how getting old is an actual complete turnaround from where you are currently. like that I would hate to do with every inch of my body right now. But to think that one day I might enjoy that,
you
that's
might want
scary.
To club with some tea and scones. There's some of the sandwiches. I love it.
Oh, the smell of it smells like sandwich, you know, boxed home sandwiches.
With cucumber sandwiches.
Mm.
All right. Okay. Well, listen.
Who knows? One day we might love it.
Yeah, they say they have drawn more than 10,000 residents in just 1 year by going throughout different cities and hosting these events.
Well, you know what? I mean, whether you're young or old, some people are lonely. They want to socialize. They want to be around other people. Good. Give them a place to do that. Somewhere where they're safe and they can have fun. Old people just like kids. They are. They're just like kids. They want to play.
You have to treat them that way as well.
And they start losing their mind. Like, you know, you go the opposite way too. Children become more serious as they get older. Old people become less serious as they get very old.
Yeah, and they like to play games. Yeah. Like cards.
Backgammon and rummikub.
Yes.
Yes, you know.
Bridge.
Bridge is my favorite. I'm so glad you mentioned bridge.
Do you have any elderly relatives who are still around?
All of mine are dead.
Yeah, mine are dead.
Did you just say thank God?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
I've always said, no, I love my grandparents. God bless them all. All of them. Every last one was gone by the time I was 20. Oh. And three of them had the decency to go before I was even 12. Just because...
Let's just look at that word again. You said decency.
Yeah, because... Why? No. I'm not going to be horrible. I mean, obviously, I'd love them to be here to kind of, you know, see what's happened, to see my brother's kids, that kind of thing. But the old people, oh, man, that's a lot of work. And anyone who's got older relatives and they start having health issues and it's a pain in the backside. They become just a burden. So I do think... In some ways, getting out of the way is the kindest thing you can do to your descendants. Get out of the way. Don't need to hang around. Start smelling of wee.
I was just evaluating my life yesterday.
As one
does. I had
to
take a relative to see a doctor at a hospital. Yes. Thought she was going to be admitted, but she's only being admitted right now. And I just thought... I'm looking after older people.
Uh-oh.
That's what I'm doing.
That's not a good thing. It does not give you satisfaction.
The thing is, I haven't bred, so there are not going to be people to look after me.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any payback.
You'll have to hire a nurse.
Mm. Yeah.
Just wrap my bum, please, because I can't reach.
Oh, my gosh.
You see,
I'm so excited for the future.
I guess I have a different opinion, though.
Here I thought I'd end my life. Retired on a yacht somewhere.
No. Instead, it's going to be you and the nurse.
I just make sure your investments are all in check to pay someone to wipe your ass.
And your sleep apnea machine.
and the cats. That's what it's going to be.
Can you train your cats to do something?
Something drastic has to happen.
Shame.
Please send me a knight in shining armor.
No. First, start off with the sleep apnea machine. That'll help you get some sleep. Then you can get everything else, your health together.
Better perspective.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
See, baby steps.
Because I still have three grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually four. Well, one is a great aunt on my dad's side, and the other three are from my mother's side. And they are still in the late 80s, early 90s.
And they're still good?
They're still alive and kicking.
Oh, okay. That's... Yeah. Totally different story then.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, but you know it's a gamble, right?
You gotta know when to hold them.
All right.
Know when to fold them.
Exactly, because if you've got three or four older relatives who are in good physical and mental condition, they still can look after themselves, they add value to the world, they're mobile.
Yeah.
They mentally aware and awake and involved and engaged in the world, great. That's lovely.
Yeah,
I would like to be like that at 80.
The two are extremely grumpy, so I never really engage with them much because they're so set in their ways and they don't appreciate, you know, just a call from me or a card, not interested at all.
Is any of them the drunk aunt?
Ah, that's the great aunt. Oh, love her.
She's the one who walks around in a dressing gown and
with her titties out.
Yeah, titties out. She's always drinking. And
I miss her now.
I had one of those.
Yeah. And then the other one is my direct grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who's birthday is on my parents' wedding anniversary, and it's also when my grandfather died. So it's quite like a symbolic day in my family's history.
You don't know whether to say condolences, happy birthday, or happy anniversary.
My mom's dad first passed away on the 29th of December, and that was on my grand's birthday, and I think that's quite insensitive.
And it's between Christmas and New Year.
You know, why die on your wife's birthday? No, but anyway.
Well, my grandmother died on my birthday.
You see? This is insensitive.
Don't worry, I don't remember it now. You just made me remember it.
Sorry.
Okay, so
then my parents chose to honor him and her by getting married on that day. And so this past 29th of December, supposedly there was a bit of a fight that was happening at home because she was envious that my parents were celebrating their 34th wedding anniversary.
Instead of talking about her?
Yeah. So, you know, once again, like, old people become slightly childish at that age. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And it's also, that's really horrible. I feel bad for all my friends who have birthdays in that week between Christmas and New Year because they screwed. No one cares. They get like a third of the birthday greetings the rest of us get because people are on holiday, they're in Christmas mode, they're in New Year mode. They don't care about your birthday.
It's my dad's birthday on Christmas Day.
Oh.
And we always make sure he's got a good birthday present wrapped in birthday paper, not Christmas paper.
Well, you're good people. God bless you.
Well, I feel bad for people who are celebrating their birthday now. Like, no one has money in Jan to spare for a gift.
Oh, yeah, that's
gift.
So true.
Oh, no. I just sent a text to a friend on Sunday. Like, that's the most you're getting from me. Happy birthday.
Happy.
Sure. Call it a freaking day.
Hey, do you want to hear what Donald Trump thinks? Does anyone care?
I don't know.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because he's just an expert on everything.
Isn't he just, though?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And ask him, he'll tell you. He's only too happy to tell you how clever he is with respect to anything on earth. Any question, anything at all.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do and income than I do.
Nobody knows more about construction than I do.
Nobody knows more about campaign finance than I do.
I know more about drones than anybody.
Nobody knows much more about technology. This type of technology, certainly, than I do.
Nobody knows more about technology than me.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
I know more about ISIS than the generals do, believe me.
I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody.
And by the way, who knew the other side of the picture better than me? I knew it.
Nobody knows more about environmental impact statements than me.
I understand the power of Facebook, maybe better than almost anybody.
I know more about renewables than any human being on Earth.
Nobody knows more about polls than me.
I know more about courts than any human being on Earth.
I know more about steelworkers than anybody that's ever run for office.
I know more about golf than Obama knows.
Nobody knows more about banks than I do.
Nobody knows more about trade than me.
Well, obviously, he doesn't know about nuclear weapons. I know more about nuclear weapons than he'll ever know.
I understand the tax laws better than almost anyone.
Who knows more about lawsuits than I do? I'm the king.
I know more about offense and defense than they will ever understand.
And nobody even understands it but me. It's called devaluation.
I understand money better than anybody.
I understand the system better than anybody.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the game better than me.
I know more about contributions than anybody.
And who knows more about the word apprentice than Donald Trump?
I understand politicians better than anybody.
Nobody knows politicians better than me.
Who knows the other side better than me?
Who knows the other side better than me?
I think I know more about the other side than almost anybody.
And I understand the other side. Perhaps I understand it better than anybody else.
I was the fair-haired boy. Nobody knows more about it than me.
I know more than these politicians. These guys don't know anything.
I know a lot. I know more than I'm ever going to tell you.
So, what a guy,
what
huh?
What a cheek.
I mean, you imagine having so much confidence that you think you know everything. Donald Trump.
No, come on now.
Those are all real quotes. There's none of them have been doctored.
Nobody knows anything more than him.
Anything.
It just makes him look so stupid. It does the opposite of what he's intending.
I actually lost track of some of those things. So he's an expert in taxes,
nuclear, arms,
ISIS,
debt,
the other side,
everything.
We are so grateful to
technology.
Have Trump in our lives. Wow.
Aren't we lucky?
Step aside, Einstein.
There's no ways he knows a lot about technology.
No.
Not even the most, but even just a lot.
don't say that in his presence.
No, no, he knows. He knows Leanne knows that she's wrong.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what he'll say. What a dummy.
Oh, we have
literally
another...
Literally shaking my head.
We have another couple of months left. When are the... When 2020. In 2020 are the elections?
Don't hold on to
it. We can't do a countdown just yet.
He's still going to be president after that, watch, because the Democrats got their heads up their backsides. So even if Donald Trump doesn't do anything better,
he'll get a second term.
As long as he doesn't do anything worse, he'll still get a second term. They have no hope. There's no one in the Democratic Party who's got any brains at the moment. They're all talking complete nonsense. I mean, they make him sound smart in that clip. They make him, in that clip I just played you now, they make him sound like he's right.
Well, that big hoopla over Elizabeth Warren now, mm-hmm. saying that she's
going to run for president.
Yeah, hat in the name.
Do you want to know while we're talking
name
about
in the hat
US president, presidential politics, Elizabeth Warren posted this ridiculous video of her in her kitchen the other day and she goes, oh, I'm just going to have a beer. But she's doing it because she's trying to be cool and appeal to people who are younger, and she doesn't drink beer in her kitchen. Elizabeth Warren is 1,000 years old.
Also, Obama did it. He did it casually in a garden, and that was cool. But making a video of it,
and
she's
an old lady. She doesn't drink beer. Old white woman who claims she's 1,247th American Indian.
Oh, because you gotta go with diversity.
She's in her kitchen, and it just looks so contrived. The whole thing is just so made up. By the way, speaking of that 2,047th
red Indian,
yeah. You remember I told you I sent National Geographic a DNA sample?
Yes.
And they did a little analysis. Well, I'll tell you what came back.
Oh.
Very, very interesting stuff. Not entirely unpredictable, but... I'll tell you about that after 7.
I'm dying to do one of those tests.
Yeah, it's so much fun because there's nothing, you know, your genes can't lie. They tell you where you're from.
Oh, but also you just reminded me by saying the kitchen video. Mm-hmm. We didn't speak about this because, of course, we were off. Did you see that Kevin Spacey video that he posted on Christmas Eve?
What did he do?
It was him in a kitchen delivering this monologue. It was called Let Me Be Frank, and he was...
He was playing Frank Underwood.
Yes, from House of Cards.
Mm-hmm. His character.
It was just so weird.
What, did he address all these allegations? Because he was in court yesterday.
Yeah, the monologue was along the line, had all of these innuendos of, okay, is he trying to say that he's innocent and we shouldn't believe
apparently,
what is all in there?
I don't know what he was saying in that clip, and who knows what goes on in the crazy head of Kevin Spacey.
He's not okay.
No, he's not okay.
Some of the lines are, you wouldn't believe the worst without evidence, would you? You wouldn't rush to judgments without facts, would you? And he says, if I didn't pay the price for things we both know I did do, I'm certainly not going to pay the price for things I didn't do. Hmm. It's called Let Me Be Frank. Well, ooh. Yeah.
Well, apparently he went to court yesterday, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but he was also arrested for speeding on the way home from court yesterday.
Oh, oopsie.
Kevin, just... retire from life. Just
this guy can't get anything right at the moment.
Log
between him and R. Kelly, we're off to a great start for the year. Yeah.
We'll find some great things to focus
and then,
on.
Have they found someone to host the Oscars yet? Because they were going to use
it was going to be hostless
Kevin Hart
at one stage. It's no longer Kevin Hart.
You know what they should do? Scrap the Oscars. Have a little online blog where you announce the winners. Nobody cares. Stop it.
It's very old-fashioned.
Stupid. It's childish. The rest of us are not as interested in you actors as we pretend to be. And we used to be more interested in you than we are now. We'll be fine if you hand the awards to each other in the privacy of your own homes. Mm. Don't worry about a big ceremony. It's a waste of money. Your ratings keep sliding down and down and down and down. It's not funny anymore. It's become all political. I heard yesterday that at the Golden Globes, which we spoke about briefly, Christian Bale said that Dick Cheney was like Satan. Another political speech at the award ceremonies. Nobody wants to hear the opinion of actors. Go home and remember that you pretend for a living. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You are there. You are paid money to pretend. The rest of us have to do that in our spare time. There is no way we're going to give you extra attention outside of the product that you are creating for us that we're already paying money for. We do not need to know what's going on in your empty head.
I think the Raspberry Awards need to have the front line this
year.
Let's
have that. Put that on as
the
yeah.
worst movies. Yeah. That's what we need. A couple of days ago, Kevin Hart was invited by Ellen DeGeneres onto her show for an interview to discuss all of this, being, you know, the tweets and. And interestingly enough, Ellen started getting all of the backlash because Ellen says, as a gay person, Kevin, I forgive you. And Kevin, I think you should still host the Oscars. Then everyone was like, Ellen, you aren't the king of all gays. We don't care.
You're not the only gay in the village.
We don't care what your opinion is. We still don't like him. But according to that conversation, the Academy actually does want Kevin Hart back. So, yeah.
Good luck to all these people fighting over nothing.
Let's see.
So Michelle says, yo, I overslept so badly this morning and still managed to get to work on time. Teach us how, Michelle. Because when I oversleep, I never get to work on time. Also, can we discuss legalizing marijuana? You must watch Murder Mountain on Netflix about Humboldt County and the effect that legalization had on their community. Well, tell us what it was. That's a message to the screen here. Welcome back, bitches. All the best for 2019. There were not enough traffic cops on the road in the Western Cape this holiday. I was so disappointed. I'm always used to seeing more. Hey, guys. Glad you're back. Last week was horrible without you. I was so lost. I'm glad you enjoyed the Freddie Mercury movie. It was awesome. You must all go and see A Star Is Born. It is incredible. And I'm not a big fan of Lady Gaga or Bradley Cooper. I was blown away by the film, though. I'm going to see it again this weekend. Much love from Cape Town, one of your super fans, Emma.
Wow.
Thanks, Emma. Morning, Gareth and team. Last year, me and a few friends got involved in a school around our university, and the school's matric pass rate in 2017 was 50%. Last year, with our assistance, they got 94%. Wow. I'd like to know what you guys did. Did you actually help with classes? Did you help raise money? Did you substitute teach? What did you guys do to help them precisely? I'd be very interested in knowing exactly how that went down. It sounds amazing.
Speaking of movies and bad movies, mm-hmm. are we going to be watching Bird Box?
We must talk about Bird Box.
I'm hearing such conflicted things.
Well, let's talk about that next. It's 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.